Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. On this edition, we profile Hispanic heritage in the community. My guest is local Chicano literature author, playwright, teacher, and cultural activist, Denise Chavez. Her new novel, The King and Queen of Comezón, a border mystery love story, was recently released. Thank you for joining me today on Puentes.
It's great to be here, Emily. Thank you.
Well, let's go a little bit into what your Hispanic heritage roots are, and then we'll go into the book. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful. My mother came from a little village called El Polvo, the Dust, Texas, which is in far west Texas. At that point, it probably had 25, 30 people. My grandmother was a postmistress. My mother married, and she was a teacher there, but her first husband died very tragically, and she moved to Las Cruces, vestida de luto, dressed in black, for 9 years. And she was here in Las Cruces, that she met my father, Epifanio E. Chavez, Ernesto Chavez, who was a lawyer. My mother's name was Delfina Rede Faver. Favor Chavez, and her first husband's lineage was, I don't know if people remember that TV program Rawhide. There was a character named Gil Favor, and he was based on Melitón Milton Favor, who was a very incredible cattle baron, the first large cattle baron in Texas. He had come from the East Coast, and allegedly it was reported he had killed someone, moved to Mexico, and my mother was married to his great-grandson, Tiburcio Favor, and it was a tragic marriage. My mother lost her husband at a very young age. He was accidentally poisoned, and well, what can I say? This is the story of my life, legend. And the rest is history. I'm here. I'm still here. I will always be here. And I love it. If I tell people the story of our family, they don't believe it's true, but it's very true. And really, when you think about Hispanic Heritage Month, what would we do without our antepasados, our characters, and our own family? Every one of us has an incredible history. And my mother was my first inspiration for a writer.
And her picture is in the front of your new book.
Yes, people think, yes, and it's wonderful. It's a hand-tinted photograph. She appeared with her sister Lucia Madrid, or Lucia Rede Madrid, but it's a hand-tinted photograph. And on the side, it has the flower motif comes from an embossed tintype, and the little crown over her head is the Loteria crown. So it's an assemblage. The University of Oklahoma Press did a great job on the cover. And it's not that I wanted my photograph on there. People think it's me. I know my mother was much, very beautiful.
Well, you do resemble her.
Well, I do resemble her. But it reminded me of the character Juliana Olivares in the book. There's a purity and a sweetness and a bravado to that wonderful character. And so she reminded me of that character. That's really why I picked her image.
Well, the book took you how many years to write?
Well, that's hard to say. The concept of the book started about 20 years ago, and I would from time to time apologize to Arnulfo P. Olivares, who's one of the major characters. He was on the plaza. The book is set between Cinco de Mayo and 16 de Septiembre, and he was standing out there in the hot sun on a plaza, a New Mexican plaza, for years, 20 years. And de vez en cuando I would say, ah, hey, Arnulfo, I'm so sorry. I'll try and take you out of the sun. I'll get you out of the sun. So the concept of the book really started about 20 years ago, but it evolved. At one point, I had three major male protagonists, and my agent at the time said, you know, maybe you should focus on one. Maybe you should focus on these stories. But I do feel that if I ever went back to a book, I would probably go back to Comezón, Itch, New Mexico, because there are still stories from that little small town in that world that I would like to explore, the stories that I left behind when I focused on Arnulfo and his family.
And you call these a slice of life on the border?
Yes, I do, because That's what's so wonderful about Hispanic Heritage Month. Hispanos, Rispanos, all of us, whether we're Latinos or not, we live in a wonderful world with culture, richness of language, food. Only in a place like Nuevo Mexico do you hear things like, tenemos que darle el try. We have to give it a try. And so our language is caló, it's Spanglish, it's a little bit of Nuevo Mexico, it has a salsita to it, it's caló, it's northern New Mexico, which is very older Spanish, and then we have the Mexicano Spanish, and then you have, I grew up a Catholic, Madonna High School in Las Cruces, you have that element of religion and spirituality. So really, La Frontera is a fusion of color, energy, light, language. My future dream is to have a conference that I'm putting out now to the universe on, I call it Chicano Speak. Chicano and Chicana Speak. I would like to bring scholars from all over the world to talk here in Las Cruces, on La Frontera, about themes and language of the Chicano writer and population. So I hope to do that.
Could you define Chicano?
Chicano is a person that has a cultural and a political energy and presence. Not everybody is a Chicano. I know friends that do not consider themselves a Chicano. Chicano is a person that grew up in El Movimiento, that had a political consciousness, knew who Cesar Chavez was, knew what the La Lucha was, knew what the struggle was. A lot of our younger Hispanos, Gen Mex, whatever you want to call yourself, do not have that sense of urgency that we did growing up in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And so I would say a Chicano is defined, or a Chicana is somebody that has a cultural conscious and a social and a political consciousness that embraces la lucha, the struggle of the people, and that has overriding sense of justice and dignity for all people.
And that's of Mexican-American descent?
Yes. Yes, I would say Mexicano, Mexican-American, although, you know, it's a generational thing, Emily, you know this. My mother was a Mexicana, Mexican-American. She would have never considered herself a Chicana, but she might now. She might have in her later years. It depends. My brother-in-law is African-American, was here, Joe Conway, author of Greyhound Therapy. Does he refer to himself as a Negro, an African-American? Are you black? I think it's a very subjective thing to look at, and I think people should use what they feel comfortable with, but sometimes it's a generational thing, too. If you don't want to be aligned to the Chicanismo, well, it's a loss because we have such a wonderful legacy and history of Cesar Chavez, the farm workers, and all of that. So it's a moniker, it's a label just like anything else. But at heart, we are Hispanos, Latinos, and global citizens, really.
And what about this banning of Chicano books? How does that affect your books?
Well, I wish they would ban mine. As a matter of fact, I wish somebody would burn my new book. Then I could sell a few more books. No, but I'm saying that facetiously. Here's the thing. It's not a good thing that's happening, but I think that what happened in Arizona with a libro traficante and the banning of the books in the schools did a lot to help and to bring an understanding that, number one, we cannot legislate creativity and voice, which is our books and our creativity. I'm going to be reading in Tucson, and I'm looking forward to take my Nuevo Mexicano world there, to take some nachos and Frito pies at Antigone Bookstore. And I think it was a wake-up call to all of us. But if you understand that you really can't legislate voice and character and creativity, whoever thought they would try to do that, it's a ridiculous gesture. People, it's true that we have killed people. García Lorca died during the Spanish Civil War. We can name many authors that have been persecuted and assassinated, or singers, you know, like Victor Jara, who was assassinated. But I think that that says something for the power of the human spirit and creativity. They will never kill the voice of García Lorca. Jara's songs will live forever, and so many others, too. And so it gives me a chill just to think about it. I would hope that our Hispano-Chicano literature, it has a vitality and a voice and an energy. Nobody can kill it. No one speaks the way we do and loves the way we do.
You're talking about songs. Tell me, give me one of the songs that you know of.
Well, how about if I sing something of Wasted Days and Wasted Nights from Freddie Fender? Because one thing that was very exciting, I was able to get permission for 7 songs in my book, from Amorcito Corazon to Camino de Guanajuato. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would get Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. But I was able to get that. And as a matter of fact, there's a band in my novel called Así Me Gusta. That's how I like it. And that's how we like it. Oscar Perez, local musician, said designer, artist, Renaissance man, put together a band called Así Me Gusta. And when we had our book launch, he put together this band, and they're keeping the name. I think it's wonderful that we have such a vital music, that Latin American and Chicano music, you know that, playing all these incredible songs. Not only do they have beautiful tunes, but they also have a depth of meaning. You get a song like La Golondrina, the little swallow that's looking for rest, angustiada, she's exhausted, but she's looking for her homeland. That's a beautiful song, La Golondrina, or even
Volver, Volver.
Volver. And that's in the book, too. And the fact that we can all sing that together. Everywhere you go on La Frontera and in any Latino part of the world, you get a group of people together and they'll honk out Volver a las dos de la mañana. And it's so beautiful. It brings people together. So I'm very honored. I also have an image in the book, which is an iconic image of a guerrillista. Her name was Maria Zavala, La Destroyer. She not only blew up the trains, but she also had her bag of remedios, and she helped the soldiers to die a good death. And in a way, why do I have that in the book? Because we need somebody to help us bring us into the world, and we need to have somebody to help us pass. And La Destroyer is this iconic image from the Mexican Revolution. I was very happy to get that image from the Fototeca Nacional in Puebla, because these images we live with. We live on an incredible, we're in an incredible time. This, my book is very much of this time and place, but to be an Hispana in this time, and this time of challenge and beauty, my God, what a great richness.
And going back to the book, you did a lot of research. Now, the book is fictional, but yes, based on some reality.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's research about, first of all, people confuse Cinco de Mayo and 16, and what do the significance, and they forget the grito and the purpose of everything. Yes, there's always research involved. Research, I have a Spanish priest in the book. I learned a lot about España, los españoles, and it was a lot of fun. I learned, I have a great recipe for bacalao in the book. I myself have never had bacalao. I've seen it in Spain. I've seen it hanging there. My dream is to have some bacalao in Las Cruces. Yes, there's always research, but it's not only a research of looking online and looking through books. It's a meditative research, looking at the human heart and just observing people. When you observe people and their suffering, and the people in Comezón itch, New Mexico, a comezón is an itch, but it's also a longing that can never be satisfied, or a desire that will never be fulfilled. What is your comezón? I know what mine are. And I think that the book is deeply looking at what is it that we left unfinished, that could never be accomplished, and maybe we can do something about it. So it's about, it's set in this world of comezones, and it's about longing. Really, in a way, all of my books are about longing. Face of an Angel was about longing. It was about a career waitress in a Mexican restaurant. Even my short stories, the young girl, Rocío Esquivel, and The Last of the Menu Girls, she wanted to get out of Dodge. She wanted to get out of town. But then in the course of the short stories, she realized that home was really her sanctuary in a place that she loved very deeply. So we long to get away, and when we're away, we dream about coming back. But Loving Pedro Infante is the title of my book, and it's about a career assistant in a school. People can have careers. She's working as an aide in an elementary school, And she belongs to a Pedro Infante fan club. And her comezón is that she's looking for a man like Pedro Infante. We were talking about George Clooney. Híjole, he's every woman's comezón. But not everybody, but a lot of us, or maybe some of us. And so we all have that comezón. But that's what I mentioned. A lot of my work, this fictionalized world, but in truth, it speaks truth. I got an email from my cousin Manny Chavez, who has written a wonderful book here in Las Cruces. Manuel Chavez grew up here, Los Chamacos de Las Cruces. And certain elements of my book he connected with, and he remembered a certain priest that reminded him of the priest in my book, or certain stories that reminded him. So people always align their own truth next to the truth of the book. And that's a very good commentary, because truth speaks to all.
That's something that you use also in a lot of your workshops, because you give a lot of writing workshops, don't you?
Yes, I do. And the last one I gave was at the Wise Latina International. That was a wonderful workshop. I'm looking forward to doing a year-long book tour. I'm traveling all over to the Seattle Book Festival, to Tucson Book Fair, to the Miami Book Fair. Any place I can get to read a book, I'm coming to your place if you invite me. Please invite me. And I was working on the South Broadway Cultural Center. I'm working on doing a reading at Tiny's Lounge in Santa Fe, my dad's hangout. And it was a very well-known lounge and restaurant that was frequented by Fra Angelico Chavez, who is my dad's drinking buddy. Yes, folks, he was. And so I'm looking forward to traveling a bit all over Nuevo Mexico.
So this is what your future holds for right now. But what about a future book?
Oh, yes, definitely. I've already started working on a book that's set again in Comezón. My sister Faride passed away 2 years ago, and I've been working on a collection of short stories. We called her Phoebe. Her name was Faride. No one ever pronounced it. So I'm working on a collection called the Phoebe Stories. And I just wrote a grant to the Guggenheim. Every year I write a grant, but this year, hopefully, maybe, who knows, I want to write a book about my mother's family from far west Texas, and I call it Rio Grande Family. And it's about following the course of a family through their history and through the Rio Grande, which is a metaphor for who we are and how we survive. The Rio Grande still survives, as dry as it is, and it's still there.
Where did you get this passion to write? You said that your mother inspired you a lot in writing, but the passion to write has to be there as a child.
My mother was a very good poet. And I have some of her poetry, La Anciana en su baño, the old woman in her bath. Here she is with her wrinkled skin, but she has the imported sponge and the special soap. She wrote a beautiful poem that I should read sometime. It's called El Rio Grande. And my mother was a wonderful writer, just a teacher for 42 years. My father was a lawyer. They loved to read. That passion comes from people who love books and culture. My mother was the most cultured person that I will ever know. On her deathbed, she was watching the news, keeping up with the world's activities, and striving to become a better person.
Just in wrapping this up for right now, what would you tell future writers of Chicano literature, or just future writers, to hold on to their passion?
I would say to young people and writers and creative people, look around you. You don't have to go to New York. You don't have to go to California. You don't have to go to Hollywood. Stay where you are. Write about the stories of your own families, the people in the neighborhood. Go to Safeway or Albertsons or wherever and stand in front of the tomatoes and listen to the way people speak. Ahorita viene como en 5 minutes. Y tenemos que darle el try. Pues sí, we have to give it a try. ¿Cómo está la troca? Pues ahí está la troca. Ahí te guacho, órale. And to understand, number one, where you live, 42 miles from the Mexican border, who are your people? ¿Quién te parió? And where are you going? We're all going to the same place in the stars. But how we do that is what matters. So look around, celebrate who you are.
Thank you so much for joining me on Puentes. You're definitely a bridge to the community with our local Chicano literature author. Her new novel, The King and Queen of Comezón, Denise Chavez. Muchas gracias.
Gracias.
For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.